Well, today's service is about beginning anew. And one of the things that we have learned in this congregation is that we are empowered around our health issues. And we have a wellness ministry here that Peggy Huddleston has helped to create. She is a nationally renowned leader in the field of body-mind-spirit connection. And our wellness ministry has served many, many people in this congregation with glowing results. And today we wanted to remind everybody of this empowerment that we have, because we begin anew with our sense of being empowered, of bringing peace, of doing good works, and of taking care of ourselves. So today, for our spiritual journey, I've asked Carolyn Hurtis to share her experience with the Peggy Huddleston Wellness Program. Thank you, Carolyn.
Good morning. I really never thought of it as a spiritual journey as much as an emotional journey that it was for me. But at any rate, I think one of the most anxiety-provoking times in my life occurred in early April 2011, the day my doctor told me that my breast cancer had returned and that I had to have major surgery. I'd never had major surgery before. I had no choice in the matter. There were no other treatment options. It was a real shock to me because I had been 4.5 years free of cancer, and they say at the end of 5 years that most people are probably cured, so I assumed that I was one of those people, and so I was kind of taken back by this. You know, I had done all that was prescribed, the radiation, the pills, exercise, healthy diet. Besides, I had always been really healthy and just considered my first dealing with cancer as kind of a blip along life's way. Needless to say, I was very disheartened by the news, and although I kept a good front, underneath the facade, I really felt anxious and I felt scared. I realized I needed emotional help to get through this time, and waiting for surgery to come, I don't know if you've ever had to wait for something like surgery, but to me it seemed like it was going to take forever. But thanks to the work of the wellness team, I remembered hearing Peggy Huddleston here in this sanctuary. She's the author of this Prepare for Surgery, Heal Faster. You actually see this book now at the South County Hospital on the little racks there. They have it there. They're involved with this program. Anyway, I remembered her talking about research that showed patients who prepared for surgery using her mind-body techniques had reduced anxiety before surgery, and I really needed that, had used less pain medication, and recovered faster, and I certainly wanted to do that. So maybe her method was worth a try. I had no choice about whether to have surgery, but I did have a choice about how to empower myself to deal with this fear and this anxiety. I couldn't control what was going on inside my body, but I could try to control what was going on in my head. The mind, as you know, has a great power to help in the healing process, but one has to empower it in a positive, proactive way. And maybe following the Huddleston program would give me my hope for outcomes, a peaceful frame of mind going into surgery, a successful operation, and a quick recovery. Well, I had to put my faith into action, and this seemed like a good way to do so. And moreover, I knew the program had helped my husband, who's kind of a skeptic, and he went through it and found it very helpful. I remembered Val Follett was on the wellness team, and because I felt very comfortable with Val, I decided to give her a call. She agreed to be my trainer, and I followed the plan of setting healing goals and visualizing accomplishing them. For example, after 2 weeks, I pictured myself at Narragansett Beach sea glassing, something I really like to do. And 3 weeks, I would be taking long walks, and at the end of the month, I'd be able to jog again along the beach. So I was most diligent about using the Huddleston method, listening to the tape twice daily for 2 weeks before the surgery helped me to turn my worries into more positive images of healing and gave me a peaceful, relaxed feeling. With the love and support of family and friends, the day finally came and I went into surgery feeling upbeat and ready. And so what were the results? They were all that I had hoped for and visualized, thanks to the wellness team and the wonderful program here in this book. So thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. And we hope that anybody who has questions about the wellness ministry will ask us, because it is amazingly helpful and effective. And I actually used it. I used her program about 16 years ago for shoulder surgery and had wonderful results. Thank you so much, Carolyn. Peace. I read from the words of Lao Tse. If there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace among nations. If there is to be peace among nations, there must be peace in the cities. If there is to be peace in the cities, there must be peace among neighbors. If there is to be peace between neighbors, there must be peace in the home. And my friends, if there is to be peace in the home, there must be peace in the heart. With that in mind, I will invite you to pick up your bells if you have them. I'm going to go get mine. Great. And what we're going to do, we're going to open our hearts and welcome the new year with a beautiful bell meditation. And it'll take somewhere between 3 and 5 minutes. And this is how it goes. I'm going to start with the sound of the bell, and then I invite you to count your breaths. And on your third breath, sound your bell. And since everybody breathes at a different rate, we'll have a symphony. Remember, if there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in your heart. And so we are opening our hearts together in this beautiful ceremony. Thank you. If there is to be peace in the world, and there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in the heart. Your heart, my heart. No one is exempt. After all, we are all one, so it is one heart. So we do bear responsibility for bringing peace into that heart. On the Sunday after the December 19th tragedy in Newtown, we had 26 white roses on the altar. I gave many of them away that evening at a meditation group I was at, but I went home with five. They were in the vase that the children made for me at the from the Legion Hall when I was installed, a vase with the bingo chips pasted all around it. The little hands, the little sweet hands, the little innocent hands, the little loving hands. The roses were in the vase that held the water that kept them alive, that was made by little loving hands. We honor them today. Those roses are still alive. It's miraculous. Miraculous. Pray for Peace, adapted by Ellen Bass. If you want to know how to create peace, pray for peace. Pray to whoever you kneel down to, Jesus, his suffering face bent to kiss you. Buddha, still under the Bo tree in scorching heat, Adonai, Allah, raise your arms to Mary or Shekinah, Queen of heaven and earth. Pray for peace. Waiting in line for the movies, for the ATM, for your latte and croissant, offer your prayer for peace. Make the brushing of your hair a prayer, every strand its own voice, singing in the choir on your head. As you wash your face, the water slipping through your fingers, a prayer. Water, softest thing on earth, gentlest that wears away rocks. That wears away rocks. Peace is possible. Pray for peace. When you walk to your car, to the mailbox, to the video store, let each step be a prayer that we all keep our legs, that we do not blow off anyone else's legs. Pray for peace. And if you are riding a bicycle or a skateboard in a wheelchair, every revolution of the wheels, a prayer that as the earth revolves, we will do less harm, less harm, less harm, less harm. Pull weeds for peace. Turn over in your sleep for peace. Feed the birds for peace. Devote your life to peace. If there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in our hearts. Some of you know I have a little timer on my desk and one in my kitchen as well. And it's set for every 30 minutes. And it reminds me of whatever it is that I need to be reminded of that day. Usually some kind of prayer. So I offer you the suggestion of finding some kind of way, set the alarm on your cell phone, do whatever, to be reminded, because we can become very mindless. After all, the world is calling and it's important. It's important, that world out there. Pray for peace. Every step. And act for peace. Pray is an action word. Peace is an action word. We Unitarian Universalists don't sit on our hands. We march with our feet. We act. Our legislative ministry in Rhode Island, which is led by our own John Glasheen, has taken up as one of its main issues this year gun control. It's not an impossible dream. These are not impossible dreams. Where is the energy? Where is the power? How can we do this? Peace is possible. Sitting in your room and meditating for peace is very good and very productive, but it's only part of the equation. We ask all of us here to act for peace, to take action with our legislators, to tell our friends, to talk peace, to be peace. I'm rereading the book Peace Pilgrim about a woman who at the time I thought was elderly. I don't think so now. I think she was like in her 60s or something when she, a child, when she set out to walk. I think she was just going to walk across the country to walk for peace with nothing except the shirt on her back, I think a toothbrush, no money, nothing. She walked for 28 years. She walked for peace for 28 years. And what came to her was peace. People giving her food. She never asked. She never asked. Food, clothing, shelter for 28 years. She spread peace by opening people's hearts to being human and to being peace. Pretty active, pretty wonderful. So, beginning anew, a time for transformation. Transformation is possible. That's one thing I know. I do know. I do have faith. Joan Yunkin last week talked about faith and hope. I do have faith, which is kind of knowing. I do know that transformation is possible if we own it, if we intend it, if we put our lives behind it. I'm going to talk a little bit about that power and that energy with the words of Walt Whitman. He uses the word miracle. Don't get stuck on that word. I kind of like it, but if you don't, use something else. Something that has the same energy of transformation. Why, who makes much of a miracle? As to me, I know nothing else but miracles. Whether I walk the streets of Manhattan or dart my sight over the roofs of houses towards the sky or wade with naked feet along the beach just on the edge of the water or stand under trees in the woods or talk by day with anyone I love or sleep in the bed at night with anyone I love, or sit at table at dinner with the rest, or look at strangers opposite me riding in a car, or watch honeybees busy around the hive of a summer afternoon, or animals feeding in the fields, or birds, or the wonderfulness of insects in the air, or the wonderfulness of the sundown, or the stars shining so quiet and so bright, or exquisite, delicate, thin curves of the new moon in spring. What stranger miracles are there. My friends, is peace a stranger miracle than these? We are surrounded by the evidence. Peace is possible. Peace is possible. There is the energy of transformation everywhere. This morning, I do remember how important it is to know that peace is a verb. Let us be clear, it is our responsibility, yours and mine, to create the peaceable kingdom by being the peaceable kingdom. In our classrooms, in our workplaces, as the wheels go round and round and round, I remind you that we must have peace in our hearts for everyone. And I read once more these words from A Course in Miracles. When you meet anyone, remember, it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of her, you will think of yourself. Never forget this, for in her, you will find yourself or lose yourself. Friends, there is a oneness of all being. Our peaceful hearts and our peaceful connections are an integral part of creating peace in this world. We're desperate for peace in this world. After the tragic massacre in Newtown last month, the 16th shooting, mass shooting, in 2012, the 16th mass shooting in 2012, Moms for Gun Control started to take serious action, holding their babes in their arms. They visit their legislators, they pass petitions, they take action. It's love and marching and acting and signing and calling and doing. We've got a bunch of people in here today. Each one of us carry that responsibility. If there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in our hearts. Pray for peace. Be peace. May it begin with me. Blessed be. Amen. In closing, may we begin anew in love. May we act for peace. O Spirit of life, O Holy Oneness, Holy Love, breather of all breath and author of peace, we come to you today. You are the mother, father of all the children of all being. Help us to remember our essential oneness as the family of humanity in whatever language, on whatever land, with whatever images. May we always remember to continuously make of our lives a prayer for peace. May it be so. Blessed be. Let's join now in our closing circle.